بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة لأهل التقوى واليقين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، خاتم النبيين بالقاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن شاء الله as the gathering is not too large, so we can have it as informal as possible. Wherever you have a question, even during my speech, you can raise your hand and quickly ask me a question or ask for clarification. Sometimes you may think that something is not clear, but I may be clarifying it in time to come. So inshallah, for the next half an hour or so, I'll be speaking on taqleed, and then inshallah we'll have question and answers, and then Maulana Muhammad Beg will be speaking for half an hour. We'll have Maghrib then, and then after Maghrib he'll have his question and answers, and then we'll have a common question and answer at the end of it. That's how they've actually, that's how the outline is. Now, taqleed in itself is an Arabic word from Bab al-Taf'il, which is from the word qalada, or chains, to put the chain of your amal or your actions in the neck of another person. So you give the responsibility of the research to another person and you follow. Basically, the Quran, many times people use the verses from the Holy Quran. The Quran condemns taqleed, or following, that is blind following in faith. The first issue in every tawdhi masail you will come across, the fuqaha will write, they will say it is haram, it is forbidden to follow any person in usul adeen, in principles of faith. So in faith, you do not say that I believe in one God because my mom and dad told me to, or because Ayatollah so and so says because to believe in one God. You can't say that. I believe that Allah is just because of my marja taqlid, or because of an Ayatollah. Or I believe in the prophethood, or the imamat, or the hereafter. No, in usul adeen you cannot do taqlid. It is haram to do taqlid in usul adeen. You must have your own reasoning to believe in usul adeen. In furu adeen, in the practices, you must have a marja taqlid if you're not a mujtahid. There are three options that you may have. Any marja taqlid says you have three options. I do go a little fast, but I'll try and slow down. So these are the three options. You either become an expert yourself. The expert is called a mujtahid, a person who is an expert who derives the rulings from the original sources. What are the four original sources? The Quran, Sunnah, Ijma' and Aql. The Quran itself, there are 513 verses in the Holy Quran that talk about fiqh. 513. The other verses are mainly about the beliefs, about ethics, about other things. About ahkam, about rulings, about namaz, roza, hajj, zakat, all of these things, 513 verses in the Holy Quran. Then sunnah, which is huwa qawlul ma'sum wa fi'luhu wa taqriruhu, the words of an infallible, not the Holy Prophet only, the infallible, 14 infallibles we have. So the words, actions and approvals of an infallible. So sunnah, the definition of a sunnah is, these are the words, actions and approvals of an infallible. So whatever they say, whatever they do, and whatever they approve, a person does something in front of them, they don't stop him. So it must be permissible. That's why they did not stop him. Now, this is Quran and Sunnah, and then there is consensus of the scholars, not of the Ummah. We do not have the consensus of the whole of the Ummah to say that, okay, like the Sunni brothers do, that the whole of the Ummah decides to believe in a person to be a Khalifa and they can change a practice. No. In Usul al-Din, no consensus is valid. I may be getting a bit too technical for some people. I'll try and simplify it as much as I can. Okay? So the Fuqaha cannot change any belief by doing any consensus. Consensus of the Fuqaha has to be in practices. And that consensus must include the 12th Imam al-Islam, or one of the Imams, or the tradition. Even if it is a weak tradition, they must have that as a proof to have consensus upon. And the fourth is Aql, or the basic intellect. We'll give you proofs of that later, inshallah. If you want me to, I'll quickly go into it now. For example, muqaddama wajib is wajib. This is a general rule in usul al-fiqh and principles of jurisprudence. The preliminaries or the foundations of an obligation are also obligatory. Namaz is wajib. Okay? Wudu in itself is not wajib. There is mustahab to do wudu at all times. To stay in the state of wudu is mustahab, recommended. But the prayer without wudu is not valid. So the preliminary or the muqaddama or the prerequisite of an obligation is also obligatory. It's a general rule that the ulama have made. Now you can apply that in all different places. A person says, I want to go to Hajj. The Hajj has become wajib. I have the financial ability to go to Hajj. However, I do not wish to get the visa. I don't want to buy a ticket. No, to buy a ticket is wajib because without buying a ticket, you can't go to Mecca. Without getting a visa, you can't go to Mecca. So the preliminaries of it will also become wajib. You guys don't get that, inshallah? Sometimes if you don't get the reasoning, then you can ask me to further explain it. Okay, everyone? So these are the four bases. Can you say Allah salallahu alayhi wa sallam?
Allahumma
salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So these are the four sources of reasoning or istidlal or istinbat, where they derive the rulings from. Now, we said in usul al-deen, all the fuqaha say taqlid is haram, but in furu al-deen, you either have to be an expert. We said these are the four places where you derive these rulings from. If you're not an expert, then you either have to do taqlid or have to follow precaution. Precaution is ihtiyat, okay? Now, even to follow precaution or ihtiyat, you need to be very learned. Only ulama can do ihtiyat, because you have to be very learned. You need to know the places where you do precaution. You can't just do precaution if you don't even know all the places where the ulama differ in fatwas, where they have differences of fatwas. That's where you do it. Now I'll give you an example. Sometimes a mujtahid says something is haram, and the other one says it is not haram. You must refrain from it. If you're doing precaution, you have to refrain. Why? Because some fuqaha say it is haram. If you're following precaution, then you'll have to leave it. Some say it is wajib, and the other say, no, it is mustahab. You will have to do it. Why? Because some say it is wajib. Everyone follow me, sir? Now, there may be places where you may have to repeat things. For example, a mujtahid says that if you're traveling from your house to another place for 14 miles or more, then you have to pray qasr. You have to pray shortened prayers. Another mujtahid says, no, once you get out of the town, you have to start counting from there, 14 miles. Now, if you're following the precaution, then what you'll have to do? Do you pray full or qasr? Both. You'll have to do both. You cannot just leave one out, because the one who says it is wajib to do the shortened prayers, meaning it is wajib, you cannot do the full rakats. You'll have to do shortened. The one who says you have to do full, you cannot do shortened. So you'll have to repeat the prayers. You'll have to do short and full. That's what precaution means. So precaution becomes very difficult for many people. People like us who are living, especially in places where it is difficult. A lot of the fuqaha will have a lot of differences on opinion on many of the things. Okay? So it is wajib to do precaution if you're not doing taqleed and if you're not a mujtahid. But you would need to know the places of precaution as well. Now, if you're not a mujtahid, which we are not, I started in 93 and I wasn't a dumb student. I was an intelligent student. Even after, since 93, it is 2010 now starting. How many years can anyone do the maths? Almost 17 years, because I didn't start in January. Almost 17 years, and most of this, 8-9 years of it, I have been in education, sometimes full-time education, sometimes partly in education, and I was teaching in London when I came back from home. I am still not a mujtahid. Having said it so long, and teaching and learning all the time, you say, I'm still not a mujtahid. Not that I didn't want to become a mujtahid, because I did not do full-time education. 17, 20 years, sometimes even more you would need to do to become a mujtahid. That's how difficult it is to become a mujtahid. It's not a piece of cake. Okay? It's a British slang to say that it's not easy. Probably you use it here. You do?
Yeah.
Oh, alhamdulillah. Sometimes people say, oh, we don't use it here, you know, so I've been many times objected. So, it's not an easy thing to become a mujtahid. Now, We are not mujtahideen. If you can't follow precaution, you have to. It is not a choice. You have to. It is wajib to do taqleed. Many of the people think we don't have to do taqleed. Taqleed is wajib. Ijtihad is wajib kifai. If something, ijtihad, to become a mujtahid is wajib kifai. What is wajib kifai? Everyone knows wajib kifai. Should I explain it a little? You know, once a person comes in, it is only recommended to say salam. But it is wajib, but wajib kifai to answer the salam. A person enters, assalamu alaikum. If some of you answer, say wa alaikum salam, it is not wajib on the rest of us. But if none of us answer that person, then we are all sinful. So if some of us do it, then it has been removed. The wajib, the obligation has been removed. Most of the ulama give the example of the, you know, the ghusl and kafan, the mayyit. So if some people go and give ghusl and kafan and bury the person, then the rest of the people, they don't have that obligation. If no one does it, then we're all responsible for not burying the person, okay? So these are wajib kifai. Ijtihad is wajib kifai. If some people go and become mujtahideen, then none of us are sinning. Some people took the obligation on their shoulders, took the responsibility, they went and did ijtihad, became the mujtahideen, and we just followed them. If there was no doctor in the Islamic world, then it would be wajib kifai for some, wajib aini for some to go and become doctors, because otherwise Muslims will be depending on non-Muslims for that particular thing. Okay. Likewise, we have all different fields we have to become experts in. Ijtihad is wajib kifai. Alhamdulillah, in Ghaibat al-Kubra, over 1,000 years, we have never had, except for once, a chance where we had no mujtahideen whatsoever. Only after Shaykh al-Tusi, for some ulama say about 80 years, we had a gap of not having a mujtahid. Okay. How does a person qualify as a mujtahid? Inshallah, probably tomorrow we'll talk about it, and shall I leave it, or shall I just touch it upon it a little, and then you will, okay. I don't want to be repeating, I don't want to be, you know, we have the same topic, so I don't want to be saying the things that one will be touching. Now, mujtahid qualifies when at least another qualified mujtahid, or two qualified mujtahideen, approve that so-and-so is a mujtahid. Just like, a medical expert would give a certificate that a person has qualified. A medical institute will give a certificate a person has qualified as a medical expert. Yes, he can practice. He gets a license. In England, the medical experts will get a license to practice. If they don't have a license, then they cannot practice. And you can lose your license many times for whatever, misconduct, prescribing wrong, medicine, doing the surgery for something that you are not supposed to, many things you can do wrong and you would disqualify. So when a mujtahid gets a certificate, he can still lose it when he starts giving all obscure, all absurd fatwas, and other mujtahidin say, what is he going on about? Has he really qualified? What's going on? Hang on a minute, this person should be brought under observation again.
Has that happened?
It has happened many times. In the past, I've seen, within my past 20 years experience, I've seen many mujtahideen lose. One of the conditions for a mujtahid is good memory. God forbid if a mujtahid loses his memory, or has, I don't know if there was a hadith on it or not, if something like that starts happening that he doesn't remember, he can lose. In the constitution, Iranian constitution, they have it for wali faqih, that if he loses his memory, God forbid, then he can be disqualified. So that is a condition for generally a mujtahid and also a judge. So we have it from the traditions of the Masumin alayhi wasalam that he must have a good memory, he must be able to remember the fatwas and the reasoning for his fatwa. Not just a common person. And then you can imagine, a common person cannot even become a mujtahid because he would need to be more expert than normal people. He would need to remember more information than common people. So he needs to be very strong. A common person, even having studied 20, I've seen many friends who have been in the house for 20, 30 years and they still haven't qualified as a mujtahid. Because very hard working, they do everything, but it takes a little bit more than what they have to become a mujtahid. Okay, brother? How are they tested? In the beginning, you'll have written tests. A stage comes where you'll have written and spoken, verbal tests. So you pass your test and then they will come and interview as well. Did you really understand it, or did you just memorize it and just copy down everything, from memory? A stage comes where you do not have written tests. It's just like PhD, research. So you will write your research, you attend the Zakharij, you write your research, you produce it to the teacher, he reads it and sees he is writing. I remember They have to actually write the thesis. They always have to write the research. I was reading the Sheikh Ali Duwani. He has written Atullah Burjadi's life history. In that he writes that a group of scholars, Atullah Jafar Safavi, Ali Duwani himself, and many others went to Khomeini to say that, you know, there have been some disputes on certain issues between some mujtahideen, and he said, okay, I'll intervene and solve them with Atullah Burjadi, and I want to mention all that. So he said, I used to teach in Madrasa Faidiya in a small room, not in the big classroom, not in a classroom like this, in a small classroom, where no more than 20 people could fit, when he was teaching philosophy. And he said, I would tell them, all of you write your notes, and at the end of the week, I'll take your books in, over the weekend I'll mark them, Thursday and Friday, you know, the days off in the hall, and then I'll tell you if you can come back from next week or not. So he said, hang on, you know, I don't think you're understanding what I've been teaching, you know, by the notes that I've seen, you're not understanding, so don't come back next week. He said, why not? He started crying. I want to attend, I want to learn philosophy from you. He said, you'll get a bad name tomorrow. People will say, you went to Imam Khomeini, you know, you went to, Imam Khomeini did not say Imam Khomeini for himself. You went to Khomeini's lecture and you did not understand? Is that how, you know, simple you are? I don't want to say any other words. So he said, you'll get a bad name, and you give me a bad name. People will say, he's been teaching you philosophy, and that's how much, is that what you've learned over the years? So I don't think you understand my lectures. Don't come back from next week. So they would test you in different methods.
How many mujtahids does it take to qualify a mujtahid?
You know, even one may be enough. If he's teaching you all the different sizes, I'll tell you all the different sizes that are necessary for a mujtahid. If you want to write them down, all the ones who are writing them down, they need to qualify in at least these sciences. They obviously learn more than 20 sciences, but I'm just saying these are the must sciences. They must all do Arabic grammar, syntax, rhetorics, sarf, nahw, and balagha. Okay, balagha includes ma'ani, bayan, badi, all. Okay, they will have to do that. Why? Because Quran and Hadith are all in Arabic, so they have to do the Arabic grammar, Arabic syntax, and rhetorics. Okay, now then they have to do logic, mantiq. Then they have to do kalam, mabda'at, all the arguments of theology. Okay, ilm kalam and theology. They also have to do fiqh to the highest level possible, become experts. Usul of fiqh, principles of jurisprudence, jurisprudence and principles of jurisprudence. In the hadith, diraya, that is. The science of hadith. Then we have to do science of rijal, ilm rijal. They have to do some tafsir, because we said 513 verses on fiqh in the Holy Quran. So they have to do tafsir. They have to do lughat, because of referring to the Arabic, you know, the dictionary, and being able to refer to. Now these are the sciences they have to do at least, and become strong in these, and some of them they have to become experts in. Otherwise, they will not qualify as a mujtahid. Now, another mujtahid will test them in two things. The Dars-e Kharij is in two things. Usul al-fiqh and fiqh. Principles of jurisprudence and jurisprudence. In these two things, they have to qualify to a level where at least one mujtahid or two mujtahid didn't give him a certificate and say that, yes, he has. They give him an ijazah or a certificate that he is a mujtahid. Right. Question answered? Now, this is ijtihad, which I have tried to simplify as much as possible. Now I'll come back to taqleed. Now taqleed is wajib upon everyone else who is not a mujtahid and cannot do precaution. We all have to do taqleed. Even at my position, one has to do taqleed if he cannot do precaution. For taqleed, mujtahideen have written conditions in Tawbah Misal. The first chapter is ijtihad and taqleed. Yes, taqleed. They have written conditions. You have to follow. These are the conditions. I usually read them in Arabic and Farsi, so I'll quickly say them in Farsi and translate them. First condition, he has to be a man. Aqil, sane. Baligh, adult. So if a person became mujtahid before the age of adulthood, which happened only a few times in the whole history of Ghaibat al-Kubra. Okay? He has to be adult. He has to be Shia Nashari. He has to be adil, just. He has to be the most learned. That is according to most of the maraji, but not all maraji. He has to be living at the time when you start his taqleed. You can remain in the taqleed of a deceased mujtahid, but you cannot start. Even remaining is disputed, but the present day, all of the maraji presently allow you, except for I recall only one who does not allow remaining, but all the other marajir allow you. And many of them actually say it is wajib. They say it is wajib to remain in the khurid of the deceased mujtahid if they were more learned than the living one. Okay? And according to Khomeini, he must not be a worldly person. So a person who thinks that, oh, I've got so many muqallideen, they'll all be paying me homes. And if he's thinking like that, then he doesn't deserve to be called a naib-e imam. You know, a person of Sakhfullah. It doesn't happen, but it may happen. You know, many times you do get an odd one out who is not, you know, adil, or who is a worldly person. It doesn't happen. God forbid, may Allah protect us all, but we're not masumeen. But mujtahideen are more pious than general people. Where do you get these conditions from? We have two traditions. Well, in fact, there is a tradition on the sharaiti qadi, the conditions of a judge in Islamic court. So the mujtahideen use that hadith that the imam has said that these are the conditions for a judge. He has to be a man. A mujtahid is a higher level than a judge. Everyone, if you just pay attention, there are levels of, you know, adalat. A person who bears witness in the Islamic court, his adalat is probably less than the one who has to lead the prayer. The one who leads common prayers, his adalat is lower. The ulama believe there is tafkeek, there is, you know, there are levels of adalat, justice. For Jummah, Imam Jummah, he has to have more adalat. For a qadi, a judge, he has to be more adil. He has to be more fair and more just than the leader of the prayer. And marja taqlid, because he is naib imam, he has to be on a much higher level of adalat than anyone else. Okay? So that's why the ulama say that all the conditions of a qadi apply to, the judge apply to a marja taqlid. And then there are more conditions, like the most learned, for example. A'lamiyat. And the reason for that is aql, is intellect. Who would you refer to when you were, you know, if you wanted to be treated? You would refer to the most learned doctor, yes, the most, you know, the most intelligent and the most qualified physician. So that's why the fuqaha say that he has to be the most learned in understanding the rulings and how to derive these rulings. Okay, a'lamiyat is one of the conditions. Now these are the conditions that the fuqaha say. Now how do you know if a person is the most learned? If two adil witnesses tell you, who are themselves learned, qualified, that a particular mujtahid or a marja is most learned, then you follow him, or he's the most qualified. Then you follow that marja taqlid. Okay, everyone? In taqlid, there are ways of finding out the fatwa. Again, you will, inshallah, refer to the Risala of Amaliya. You all know that, inshallah. Most of you already do taqlid, so you will know many basic issues. Now, who announces? We have Jamaat al-Mudarrisin in Qom and also similar in Najaf. You know, it is all easy to sit down in London and probably sit down in Houston and say that I'm a mujtahid and I have a fatwa, I have a new theory. You know, if a person sits down in Lahore and says I have new theories. I mention Lahore because I'm originally from Lahore. And, you know, no offense to anyone who is from Lahore. Why do you mention Lahore in particular, you know? A person who sits in another city and says, look, I have a new theory on an issue on science. It's easy to say it when you're not in the main institutes. But if a person was sitting in, for example, Oxford or Cambridge or in Harvard or, you know, in Princeton, then he'll be questioned by all other experts. Hang on, what are your proofs? It is easy for a person who is outside to say, I'm a mujtahid. But when a person is in the main institutes in Iran or in Najaf, it is then it is proven that if a person is a mujtahid or not. And then the mujtahidin can monitor him and then say that he's either qualified or if a person was qualified and is disqualified. Okay, everyone? So these are the issues that the mujtahidin will use. They will see his knowledge, they will see his research, and then they will say if a person is qualified or if a person is unqualified. Everyone with me so far? If you are not, then say salawat. Okay, thank you. Now, to stay with me, say aloud a salawat.
Allah.
This is an error that I always shoot and it always works. Because people just for the sake of salawat, you know, salawat and salawat, they would just say salawat. Now, if the sisters also had questions, then they could just, you know, send them in writing, or if they had a microphone, then they could ask. They do have, alhamdulillah. Now, any questions so far? If I wanted to continue for another probably 10 minutes at least.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
Can you explain what is the difference between jurisprudence versus principle of jurisprudence?
Okay, the difference between principles of jurisprudence and jurisprudence. Sheikh Baqir Sadr has given a very beautiful example in Halaqat. He says it is just like theory and practical. Principles of jurisprudence is all theory. If you had wood and if you had the hammer, you had the nails and if you had everything, how would you construct them to become a table? So that's studied in principles of jurisprudence. And in jurisprudence, you will actually do the practical. You bring them together and you start making the table. So in principles of jurisprudence, you study how to derive a fatwa. How do you take it out from Quran? What indicates upon wujub? How is something wajib? And how is something, for example, musab? The Masum alayhi salam tells you to do something. How do you know if it is wajib or if it is musab? They have told you to do something. So it must be either wajib or musab because they have told you to do. So you study these principles in principles of jurisprudence and then you come and apply them into jurisprudence. Also, it is, they go hand in hand together. They stay together always. If you don't have one, then the other one is useless. So you need both. To be able to derive, you need theory and the practical. One is to have the knowledge of how to operate on a person, how to do the surgery, and the other one is to actually go and carry out the surgery. I hope I can give you examples, but it'll be probably too much for some of the younger brothers. So examples are given. There is a translation also of Halaqatul Ula. He's giving you more knowledge there. So English translation of Halaqatul Ula. Principles of jurisprudence. So he'll give you more examples if you probably read there. So these are the basic sciences that a person would need to become a mujtahid, and then once a person has qualified. Now, Jamaatul Mudarrisin in Qom has more than 300 members, which are all mudarrisin. Mudarrisin meaning all qualified ulama, scholars, mujtahideen, who would give you the names that these are the people who qualify to be followed. On the death of Marhum Ayatollah Araki, Sheikh Muhammad Ali Araki, they announced the names of seven mujtahideen, that these are the seven people that you can do taqlid of. If you want me to, I'll just quickly count those seven names. They gave the seven names that they gave Marhum Ayatollah Sheikh Muhammad Fadil Ankarani, who died last year. Last year or the year before last? 2008. Second on that list was Ayatollah Sheikh Muhammad Taqi Behjat, who died last year, 2009. And then Ayatollah Khamenei, then Ayatollah Sheikh Hussain Mahid Khorasani, then Ayatollah Tabrizi, who died last year, 2006 he died. And then Ayatollah Musa Shibari Zanjani and Ayatollah Makarim Shirazi, Nasr Makarim Shirazi. So these are the names that they gave. Later on they added two other names, one of Ayatollah Sistani, Ali Hussain Sistani, and one of Ayatollah Safi Gulpagani, Ayatollah Lodma Sheikh Safi Gulpagani, who is about 89. So these are the mujtahideen that, yes.
Is that the Majlis
of Khubargan? No. Majlis of Khubargan is for Vilayat Faqih. They have 85 members now. So for Majlis of Khubargan, you also need to be a mujtahid. You will have election, people can vote, but a board has to approve that you are a mujtahid, and once they approve you, then you can go for election. And in Iran, all the people would vote in each area for a mujtahid, and they will become members of Khubargan. Khubargan chooses or replaces or questions Vilayat Faqih. They monitor Waliyat Faqih. 85 members of Khubargan. Al-Khibra basically learned people. The Majlis of learned people. In Afghanistan they had 75 members, but obviously as the population is increasing and there are more people, 85 members today they have. And Majlis of Khubargan basically monitors Waliyat Faqih. So God forbid if gross misconduct or something like that happens, or memory is gone, or different things may happen. So they monitor Waliyat Faqih, they overlook, they choose and may replace Waliyat Faqih.
Al-Khibra is the same as...
Al-Khibra is same, but not all Al-Khibra are members of Majlis Khubargan. Okay, or not all experts are members of Majlis Khubargan, or not all experts are members of Jamaat al-Mudarrisin.
But these are the guys who are basically publishing the names of all the Marja
Taqeen. Majlis Khubargan only monitors Waliyat Faqih. Al-Khibra, there may be many Al-Khibra, but Jamaat al-Mudarrisin is basically over 300 members. Probably even now they may even have more than 400 members. But when I was in Qom, they had more than 300 members. There are more than 60,000 students and ulama in Qom today. So it is the biggest Shia institute in the world. So they have 300 mujtahideen or ulama who are members of Jamaat al-Mudarrisin, who give names of mujtahideen, who qualify. So these are the qualified ulama, mujtahideen, you can follow any one of them. And if a person, for example, something may happen, they may even actually announce that a person is not a mujtahid. They normally don't do that unless something serious happens. So they would monitor, see, and they may announce a name, and they may also, you know, for example, invalidate the license that they have issued for a person to be a marja taqlid.
My question is, who select those mudarrisin who basically...
Mudarrisin are amongst the mujtahideen who recommend them and also who have been teaching in the main institute of Qom, or for example, Mashhad, or main institutes, who have come up during their over the years, 20, 30 years of teaching, who qualify, who come, books, 30, 40 years sometimes, of teaching and studying and writing books, and they are known by all the ulama scholars, and they are approved by all the maraji and all the fuqaha, members of the hawza. You know, like you have a system, a person became a student, became a lecturer, assistant professor, professor, until they qualify, so they become members. Many may choose not to become the members of Jamta Mudarrisin, but the ones who do become, then they issue, once they have a meeting, they issue the list of mujtahideen. They mention, yes. The names that they, yes.
You said Majlis e Khubragan is the one that picks Waliyat Hakim. Wasn't there a succession plan at the time of Imam Khomeini when he picked Ayatollah Muqtadari first?
They recommended. The head of Majlis e Khubragan was Ayatollah Mishkini, who had recommended Ayatollah Muqtadari at the time, who had written the letter to Imam Khomeini. And Imam Khomeini has in the letter, in one of his letters that I have read, he said that, look, when he addresses Ayatollah Mishkini, he says, who died last year, that you had recommended, and I was not very keen to have Sheikh Hussain Ali Muntazari, who died 2 weeks ago, 3 years. I wasn't very keen on having him as my successor, but you guys had recommended him. So I announced him, but now I have seen many, you know, faults and mistakes, or you know, whatever, and then he put him out of the office in 1987. So, the Wali Faqih may himself indicate, but Khubragan has to approve. The system is very, you know, thorough and deep and very good, strong. No one can manipulate it easily. So the system that has been made is very strong. Even though that the Wali Faqih is above, but he cannot, they can rule him out. So they chose and recommended a person, and then he accepted, and later on he said, no, these are the faults, and these, and I'm taking him out. He later on, yes, gave indications for certain, you know, for certain people that I like these, you know, these three people. Ayatollah Khamenei is one of them. And then when one of them had become shaheed over the time, within the lifetime of Khomeini. And later on when they chose, those 75 members had a meeting. We have a clip on YouTube now of that meeting where they chose Ayatollah Khamenei as a Wali Faqih. So the Khubragan chose. They have only recently, in the recent elections, released the video. So, inshallah, you can actually, you won't understand it in Farsi, but I think they may have a small clip translation in one of them, probably. I think I've seen the translation in one of them. It's a 2-minute clip. So basically, Khubragan is basically that watches over the Wali Faqih, mujtahideen, who keep an eye for any, God forbid, anything that may go wrong. Okay? Only and only a masoom is different. So it's a very strong system. Now, mujtahideen may also be watched over by other mujtahideen, and if something goes wrong, then they will question him and they will point it out to him. It has happened, I don't want to mention any names, but it has happened. In the past 20 years, I've seen a number of mujtahideen disqualified by the mujtahideen themselves, by the main institutes of Qom and Najaf, who have, for example, printed a list, or not printed a list, but you know, like, who have all signed a paper to say so and so is not a mujtahid.
So they strip them of their title?
It may happen that they may strip them of their title and may say that he's not a marja, he's not a mujtahid. You can't follow him, he's a learned person, but he's not qualified to be followed. Sometimes it may even happen that they may say words more than that, which I don't want to mention. A person is no longer just, he cannot be followed because of certain things he said or his beliefs or whatever. Yes.
Like in Al Khubra report, you know, this 8
mujtahideen that you used. 7, originally. No, I have not. Alhamdulillah, when mujtahideen mentioned, you know, it is not easy to come up, and that's why alamiyat is very important, the most learned. A person may go to the hawza after 20 years, he claims, I'm a mujtahid, and he leaves the hawza, starts doing all sorts of things, comes back to, you know, White House, only a joke, yes? He comes out of coma, comes to America or London, or, you know, goes back to India, Pakistan. We don't have that many scholars from Bangladesh, so I won't mention Bangladesh. I don't want to give a bad name to any country. We have some very good scholars. But, you know, a person may go back to their country and starts doing all sorts of funny things. Mujtahideen don't know in Qom al-Najaf. People say these are the things that he's saying, these are the things that he's writing, these are the things that he's propagating. What do you think? So then they will read and they will research and say that if a person says these things, then either he's not qualified or he has gone off the track. So those things will happen. But that's why alamiyat and staying in the main institutes is very important, that they would see that so-and-so is very learned or the most learned. I have not come across a time when, you know, someone from that caliber, God forbid, goes astray or goes wrong. It may happen, but you know, very rarely.
I'm asking those questions, I'm sorry, but you know, the one of the conditions of choosing your Murja Taqi is that he has to be an alim, you know, in whatever subjects, you know, basically. So, among the list that you just mentioned, seven names, how can a person like, you know, myself or people sitting here can identify?
No, they cannot. A layman cannot identify himself because they're not learned. Even I may not be able to. In fact, I'm not an Ahl Khibra. Ahl Khibra has to be very close to Ijtihad, who is very learned himself, who has seen the different scholars, who has attended the lectures of different scholars, who has seen the research, and then he may say that yes, a person is A'lam, he's the most learned. So Ahl Khibra, they will have to ask two Ahl Khibra. In fact, according to some Mujtahideen, even if you just ask one and it satisfies you, then it is enough for you to follow. Some have also said that if you cannot find out the most learned, then the person who is the most pious.
But how can you, like, for example, if I'm choosing a Murja Taqi?
You would ask authentic learned scholars, and two scholars who indicated to you that so-and-so is the most learned or so-and-so is the most qualified, then you would follow him.
But then what you're saying is that from the list of about 38 or 40 Murja Taqi that we have, right?
Yes.
There's a hot list of about 9 of them.
Probably 5 of them are living, 4 or 5 of them are living.
Right.
The others pass away, yes. And one of them you choose. Our Mujtahideen said that if you chose yourself, that yes, they have said any one of these, but you did not recognize the most learned, then you just chose a person. At that point, you still have a chance that if a person recommended you the most learned, then you would change. But if you thought that so-and-so is most learned, then you cannot change until you think the other one is the most learned. Okay? So you can only change when you think the other one is more learned or more qualified. So these are certain technical things that I don't want to go too much into because I'm thinking there may be children who might get confused. I don't want to confuse them. Maybe certain words I will say or certain things I will say may confuse younger people. But I think so long as basic concepts are clear, then rather than confusing the, oh, you can't choose, you can't find out. No, don't go down that path that you can't choose and you cannot find out. You cannot find out the qualified. It may confuse some of the younger brothers and sisters. Yes?
You said that the Ahl Qubuzan may have seen the scholar or attended his lectures. If they are in Iran, how they qualify a person in
the Iran? They do certain, they see their books or they see their research, and sometimes they may say that, no, I don't know about Najaf or I don't know about other places. And sometimes they would see the research and their books and they would say, yes, no, still this person is more qualified. So they don't have to attend a lifetime. They may attend a few lectures, they may see a number of books, even fatawas. It is different ways of finding out. You don't have to personally meet the person. You may see their research. You may see their fatwas, many things. So the ones who are learned, they will have many different methods of working out who the more learned, most learned is. Okay? Yes.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam.
So these 7 or 9 marja, how we know who is Imam is endorsed them?
That Imam endorses them?
Yeah.
Okay. So long as we know that the Imam doesn't reject anyone, Imam Zaman al-Salam in Ghaibat al-Kubra will not come and point out that so-and-so is my Naib Khas. No one claims that he is Naib Khas in the absence of the Imam al-Salam. They're all Mujtahideen who have qualified, yes. We have our own system, and the Imam al-Islam has given you ahadith which I wanted to mention, 11th Imam and the 12th Imam. 11th Imam al-Islam said, وَأَمَّا مَنْ كَانَ مِنَ الْفُقَهَاءِ سَائِنِ لِنَفْسِهِ حَافِظًا لِدِينِهِ مُخَالِفًا لِهَوَاهُ مُتِيعًا لِمَرْ مَوْلَى فَلِلَّوَامِ أَنْ يُقَلِّدُوهُ For awam to do taqlid, these are the conditions. So Imam al-Islam has given me general conditions. Once you see those conditions, then they have qualified. You don't need the Imam al-Islam to specifically come out and point out to a particular person. That may happen, it doesn't happen generally. So those conditions will be found. The 12th Imam al-Islam himself has another tawqeeh mubarak that I'll mention. Yes. The 11th Imam al-Islam has this al-ihtijaj al-tabarsi bihar al-anwar and other places. I've mentioned, Wasail al-Shia has also mentioned this hadith by the 11th Imam, Imam Hasan Askari al-Islam. If you want to write it down, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala وَأَمَّا مَنْ كَانَ مِنَ الْفُقَهَاءِ As for the ones amongst the fuqaha. Fuqaha is the plural of faqih. Faqih is the one who has knowledge of fiqh. Fiqh, jurisprudence. Fiqh literally means understanding, deep understanding, just like fahm. Fahm and fiqh are similar, but fahm is simple understanding and fiqh is deep understanding of something. So faqih who has deep understanding of religion, that's literally, but as a term, he's a mujtahid, an ayatullah for example, sometimes we use. As for the fuqaha, amongst the fuqaha who have these conditions, sa'inan li nafsihi, the one who protects his nafs, hafidhan li deenihi, who safeguards his nafs and protects his religion, mukhalifan li hawahu, goes against his evil desires, muti'an li amri mawla, is obedient to the orders and commands of his mawla, falil awami an yuqallidu. Then amongst for the general public, it is wajib upon them to do taqlid of. That's why we say taqlid, because the Imam has used the word taqlid here. It is upon the people to do his taqlid. Not all fuqaha will have these conditions, the Imam al-Islam says at the end of it. So the ones who have these conditions, you can only follow him. And the scholars will point out that these are the fuqaha who have these conditions. Okay? Now, the 12th Imam al-Islam has another taqlid, something which the Imam has signed, or has written himself. In that, the 12th Imam al-Islam says, وَأَمَّا فِي الْحَوَادِثِ الْوَاقِعَةِ فَرْجِعُوا فِيهَا لِرُوَاتِ أَحَدِيثِنَا فَإِنَّهُمْ حُجَّةِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَأَنَا حُجَّةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ As for the difficult times to come, then amongst the scholars, the ones who are experts in our ahadith, who have thorough knowledge of the ahadith, follow them. Thank you. Follow them. فَإِنَّهُمْ حُجَّتِي عَلَيْكُمْ They are my hujjat, my proof over you. وَأَنَا حُجَّتُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَعَلَيْكُمْ And I am the proof of Allah over them. So the fuqaha are the proofs of the Imam al-Islam. And that's why we sometimes call them hujjat al-Islam. The other title these days, you know, many times the titles have been many times misused. Many people, you know, commonly use the word Ayatullah or hujjat al-Islam very commonly. For everyone. So, you know, these are high titles, so not easily we can use for anyone. Now, as for the Shias, generally we have our own, Islam has its own economical system. Islam has its own social system, its own political system. And the Shia political system is called Walayat al-Faqih. That's the Shia political system. Even if you're not doing taqlid of the Wali Faqih, then you still have to accept him as the political leader, the Shia political leader, and it is wajib, even if you're not doing taqlid, to accept his ruling as the political leader. So, even if the ones who are not in taqlid, and they do taqlid of any other marja, then as a political leader, he has authority over all the Shias. As a political leader, it's wajib to follow his fatawa. As a political leader. Now, the whole Shia leadership over the years, in 1,000 years, has been with the Maraja Taqlid, and they are the fuqaha who have authority over us, who have the vilayat over us from the Imam al-Islam. The Imam has given them this authority. So they have the authority over us. Just like Wali Mayyit, you know, a person dies and there are awliya, you know, Wali Mayyit, for example, husband for the wife. The oldest son for the, you know, for the father, and for the child it is his father. So these are awliya mail, just like awliya aqd. The father has authority for the girl to get married, and the grandfather, paternal grandfather, but not other people. The fuqaha have authority over us. Now it's disputed amongst the fuqaha how much authority they do have over us. You know, for example, the Holy Prophet and the Imams could divorce a woman if her husband was not giving her divorce. He said that, no, I will not provide for her and I will not divorce her. Now, this is genuine reason for the Imams. Okay, if you're not, because marriage is a contract, is an aqd, is a two-way thing. But divorce is not. It is iqa', it is one-sided. So if the husband is not giving divorce, then the faqih has the right, he has the velayat to give divorce. Everyone follow me so far? So these are the... Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. These are the fuqaha who have the, you know, they have the velayat over us in all of these different issues. What is the limit of their velayat? That is disputed. All the fuqaha believe that yes, they do have velayat. But what is the extent of the velayat? Imam Khomeini's view is that he has the velayat in the absence of the Imam, because the Imam alayhi salam has been in occultation for more than he stayed with us. If you look at the time of the Prophet and the Imams, 270 years. In 260 Hijra, the Imam alayhi salam went into occultation. The Holy Prophet was 13 years in Mecca, and then 260 years with the Prophet and the Imams. We have had over 1,000 years in the absence of the Imam. So is Islam only for the time of the Imam? And in the absence of the Imam alayhi salam, you don't establish the Islamic rulings, you don't apply them, or do you still imply them? What happens? That's the depth of the view from Khomeini, that he says, no, in the absence of the Imam alayhi salam, it is wajib upon the fuqaha to establish all of those rulings and then carry them out. And that was called Wilayat al-Faqih. So in the absence of the Imam alayhi salam, the Wali Faqih will establish a state, for example, and carry out the hudud and all those rulings. So that's the political Shia political system.
Maulana, we have a question.
Yes.
People get concerned if, they know that they are 9 years old and they haven't done taqleed, and now probably they are 40 or 50 years old. And so all their amals are null and void. And then, now what can be done about that? Because either they never knew, or it was not an important issue for them, or somehow the preachers who came didn't talk about it.
Okay, now did they do taqleed before, if they did not do taqleed, did they follow, did they pray and fast and everything?
Yes, they prayed and fast, but there are some people who may have lost their parents when they were much younger.
Okay.
The people they lived with went, or even knowingly they didn't do taqleed.
Okay, if knowingly they did not do taqleed, then it's difficult. But if they prayed and fasted and they did everything else, then it is okay, everything is valid, they don't have to repeat. But if knowingly they did not do taqleed, then they have to find out if all the practices they were carrying out, if they were in accordance with the person who they were supposed to follow, then their actions are okay. And if they are not in accordance with the person they were supposed to follow, then they have a problem.
So if somebody didn't have parents and they were following their parents, not actually doing taqleed, then does that count as doing
inshallah, so long as they were praying and fasting, all of those will be valid. But if they intentionally did not carry out taqleed, they opposed it or they were against it. But you see, the problem only comes, jahil qasir and jahil muqassir. Do you know the argument? Do you know, I need to explain this a little bit more?
Yes.
Okay. You know, there are two types of ignorant people. One who doesn't know, and couldn't learn. And the other one who didn't know, and didn't bother learning. They cared less. The second has a problem. The one who could have learned, they could have acquired knowledge, and they did not, they have a problem. If everything they did, their prayers and fasting, were in accordance with the fatwa of the mujtahid they were supposed to follow, then their prayers and fasting is valid. But if they were doing them not in accordance with the mujtahid's fatwa, then they have a serious problem. And the other ones, the ones who could not learn, they couldn't have learned, or they didn't know the importance. If they have prayed and fasted, everything is valid. So inshallah, that's okay.
Walana, there's one more question from a child over here. I'm just asking her question. She says, why do we have just one Wilayat al-Faqih?
And why don't we have so many?
We don't have choices in Wilayat al-Faqih when we want to, but we have lots of choices when we come to Ijtihad.
Yes. Why do we have one? Well, basically the political system itself, Khomeini does allow for a number of people to be, but he says three or five, for example. The system works with one head of the state. If there are two people trying to run a state, then it doesn't work. It is very simple and logical to have one political leader. Otherwise, you will have a chaos. You'll have disputes and you'll have differences. A country doesn't run with two presidents. If two people were the final authority, there would always be disputes. So it is a very logical and simple and basic concept. So inshallah, you need to have one leader that. Even if you're two people traveling together, then one of you should become the leader. If both of you are fighting with each other all throughout, then you'll come back with, you know, two different people coming separately. So when people are traveling together, one should become a leader and the others follow. It is logical, very simple and straightforward that one person has to lead. If everyone was leading, then there'll be a chaos. One person has to lead.
Maulana, still adding to this question, does each country, like Iraq, have their own Wilayat al-Faqih and Iran has their own countries, or do the whole...
Okay, you know, the simple that I have understood the first part, because we lost you. Does every country have their own Wali Faqih, or do we have one? We have one Wali Faqih for the general Shias all over the world. You may have different countries and you may have different Shia states in the future. You may have. And each state may have its own leader. But you will still have one final authority for the general Shia masses. So one authority will be a final authority. But you will have many, many Shia countries, many Shia states, many Shia state leaders. So there will be state leaders, they will not be called Wali Faqih. Okay, everyone?
Maulana? Okay. If there's one Wilayat al-Faqih, then why don't we all follow him? Like, why do we have a choice in which mujtahid we can follow?
Okay, good question. Do we, you know, if we had one Wali Faqih, then why don't we have one Marja? It will solve things, it will make things easier, but we don't. That's not how the Shias work. You know, that's how Shias are. We always stay with differences. A very good question from a young person. It's not easy. Shias always will remain disputed until the... We've had in the past in the history only one Marja Taqlid. But it is not easy. It doesn't, even the fuqaha, you know, they have said, you know, it's not easy. Sometimes we have many and sometimes we have very few. Sometimes we have had one Marja Taqlid in the past. So I don't think it will happen easily.
So when the Wali Faqih says something, it's kind of obligatory and all the Marja.
Two things. Everyone pay attention to this last point, the question by Brother Faisal, who said that if the Wali Faqih says something, does that apply? If he gives a fatwa, then it is wajib upon all of his muqallideen to follow. If he gives a hukum, then it is wajib upon all Shias to follow. He doesn't give a hukum that easily. Hukum is an order, command, and a fatwa. If it is a political fatwa, again, it will be wajib upon all to follow. You know?
So my next question is, the hukum given by only the
Wilayat? No. Again, a hukum can also be given by other mujtahideen if they are qualified. But they don't. We've only had in the past 40 years, I remember only, I don't remember, but I've read only that Atullah Muhsin al-Hakim, Atullah, only olders would have heard. Atullah Baqir al-Hakim, we've all heard of Atullah Shahid Baqir al-Hakim. His father used to be a grand marja taqlid, Atullah Muhsin al-Hakim. He was the only one who would give an order, hukum. Ian Khomeini did not give hukum for either anything. He may have given one or two probably in his life, I don't recall. Probably only... Rushdie was a fatwa. Fatwa, wo bhi hukum nahi hai. I think just when the Inqilab was coming, he said that people in Tehran, only for the political group, not for all the Shias. I have not come across any recent mujtahid who may have given an order, except for Ayatollah Muhsin al-Hakim. He would give a fatwa, hakamtu bi anna ghadan Eid. I am giving an order, tomorrow is Eid. Many mujtahideen say that with the hukum of a mujtahid, Eid is proven. And many fuqaha say that it is not proven. Ayatollah Muhsin al-Hakim, he would give an order. He said, tomorrow is Eid. And even, you know, all the Marat in Najaf, even people like Ayatollah Khoi would say, tomorrow is Eid. And people ask, why? He said, because Ayatollah Hakim had given an order. He has given a hukum. Hakam to Benna Qadan Eid. He would always write a statement and he said, I've given an order, tomorrow is Eid. In the recent years, I've only seen him. Even after Bajadi, no one else I've come across that they would give a... So we've had mujtahideen very powerful. Imam Khomeini knew that people, you know, have disputes and people would become sinful not to follow the order. And that's why they don't give a hukum.
That's obligatory.
If he gave a hukum, everyone will be sinful not to follow. So if they don't, they know that, you know, the Shias, alhamdulillah, are quite ignorant. You know, we have so many little petty issues we're still fighting over. So many little petty issues. I many times become so disgusted many times when I travel around. I've been to over 30 countries in Europe and in North America, Middle East, Africa. I've seen. Moon sighting will never, you know, you don't even discuss it. With me, I've been on the moon sighting, you know, the committee in London. I've resigned twice. I've recently gone back into it now. I don't think we're going to resolve it, you know. Shia are like that. God forbid, may Allah protect them. We only have everything good because of the Prophet Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala. You know, Shaykh Mutahari has a book called Imdad Hai Ghaibi. You know, a beautiful book. He says you'll have unseen help just because you're Shias. We have destroyed ourselves many times. We have done so many things to destroy everything. But things happen our way. You know? My friend was telling me, one of my teachers was telling me that the position that the Shias are in Afghanistan has never been the position that the Shias were ever in Afghanistan in the past 1,000 years. The Afghani Shias did not do anything for themselves. It was a, you know, help from the Prophet. This is called an unseen help. In Pakistan, in India, so many other countries, you see it all the time. Iraqi Shias destroyed their future, and suddenly, Ayatollah Ibrahim said so beautifully, he said, Iran had three enemies, one big and two small. The big, America, two small, Saddam and the Taliban. He said, we tried everything with all three of them, couldn't do anything. And then, one big enemy comes and destroys the other two. This is from the Prophet, you know. And then America realized, hang on, Iran has become stronger. Their position become, you know, the old Shia belt now, from Lebanon, you know, Yemen, Bahrain, Iran was already. So, you know, can you see? One big enemy goes and kills the other two small enemies of the Shias. So, it happened. This is the Prophet of Islam is doing. They did not do it. Now they're regretting, what have we done? We should have destroyed Iran rather than destroying all the enemies around Iran. So, they're sitting down in all those countries. Can you see? I didn't intend to go down that path, but you know, it happens. These are called Imdad Haqabi. The Shias are like that. They don't do anything for themselves, but Imam Islam says, okay, fine. So long as you believe in me, I'll help you. So Alhamdulillah, with the help of the Prophet Imam Islam, we are where we are. May the Prophet Imam Islam continue to help us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all the fuqaha and maraji. May Allah give them all a long life. May Allah protect Najaf, Qom, Mashhad, all of our holy places. May Allah protect Iran, the only Shia state at the moment. Inshallah, yes, Iraq is becoming a Shia state, and also Lebanon, also, you know, may Allah help the Bahraini Shias. We have a Shia state. They are in majority, more than 70% of the population is Shia. Yemen has something like 42% Shias according to the government. The Shia are claiming we are even more. Kuwait has at least 40-45% Shias. So we, you know, you think we are weak, but we are disorganized. We remain disorganized, we work disorganized, and one of the proofs that the Prophet Imam exists is with all of this disorganization we still go forward. This is a proof that the Prophet Imam Islam is over us. He watches over us and he helps us. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Salawat. Sorry, I took a few minutes on Morana. Next time, but inshallah he'll forgive me for that. Just for the